I guess. Monday topic, which for now is OVOS, again, subject to flexibility, of course. So a couple of, we didn't do any of that this year, I think, right? At the end of last year, we started this project, I guess. And we began with the second PERIC. I've spent a couple of shiurim, I think we only did a few times, but a couple of shiurim on the first Mishnah. Rebbe Omer, Ezohi Derech Yishara Sheyavar Lo Ha'adam, Kol Shehi Tiferes Lioseh V'Tiferes Lo Min Ha'adam. We discussed that somewhat thoroughly. We'll get back to it, hopefully, in a couple of minutes in a different way. And then the second part, we have Zoyer B'Mitzvah Kala K'Bechamura, She'ena Tayodeya Matan Scharon Shel Mitzvos, and we discussed that, I wouldn't say thoroughly, but definitely we discussed it somewhat extensively, the different views in the Mefarshim regarding whether there is, you know, a hierarchy, you know, when it comes to Mitzvos, whether we distinguish between Essen and Lavin. What do we mean when we talk about a hierarchy? Are we talking about schar? Are we talking about an axiological question, namely the like intrinsic value? You know, very fundamental questions. How does that relate to things like osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah or in mavir nala mitzvos? All things that the different mefarshim weigh in on. Some of them here al atar, and some of them we try to develop on the outside. But already you can see that this Mishnah, which has two more parts to it, and we're going to pick up with the third part, but the context is important, is really about making difficult choices. It's really about, you know, when you take a step back, each piece stands in its own right. But the, you know, the broader theme, there doesn't have to be a broad theme in it, you know, that integrates every single Mishnah, of course. I mean, Avos, like other Mishnayos, is organized in different ways. But this particular Mishnah is not, you know, it's Rebbe's wisdom, if you will. And it does seem like it has, like, a very important common denominator. So the first part, which is, you know, weighing, again, I don't want to prosecute the case all over again, but, you know, Ezu Derech Yishara Sheyavar Lo Ha'adam, what we discussed then, the idea of Yavor for the language of Brera, Borer, when you have to make, you know, choices. You know, what goes into making a choice about, you know, the proper mahalach, if you want, the proper, you know, approach, outlook that you want to adopt for your life. Teferes lo secha, teferes lo min adad. You can see already that there's a certain tension. You know, obviously the ideal is to do things that are teferes lo oseha, whether that means the individual who's doing it or it means the Ravonu Shel Olam who made us, but teferet lo min adam, and the impact on others is also teferet. And then comes the second part, havezor b'mitzvah kala k'b'chamura, which again is, you know, either talking about, you know, a hierarchy, like how do you perceive, right, the different, you know, mitzvah options or avera options in terms of avoidance, you know, in front of you, and may have also implications in terms of actually choosing in a situation where there's an anomaly, an unhappy circumstance, and, you know, you are compelled, you know, to make a choice. Like, typically, we would want, you know, to fulfill, you know, enthusiastically every one of the, you know, mitzvahs asei and every one, and avoid, you know, scrupulously and consciously every one of the los aseis. But this idea of mitzvah kalab kibachamura is basically reminding us about the value of each mitzvah and maybe, you know, according to some farshim, like, as I mentioned, osik mitzvah and emavir nala mitzvos and so on and so forth. You know, what happens when you actually find yourself in circumstances where you have to make difficult choices? Those are things that we discussed already. So then the third part of the Mishnah seems to be a continuation of that. And it reads, and that's what we're going to discuss a little bit today, Vehevi mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schara uschar avera keneged hefseda. And this again, like the other two, there seems to be a lot of ambiguity in exactly what we're talking about here. The language, once again, is very challenging, right? Being mechashev means calculating, giving chashivos to, and also just weighing. It sounds like, once again, that a person is in a situation where there are, you know, different paths. He has to make choices. And again, if all choices were simple and easy, if they were, you know, unequivocal, then it would be very easy to make, you know, to make choices. But there is sometimes a payoff, or also a trade-off, you know, in the making of different choices. And the Mishnah seems to be telling us that you have to calculate that carefully, mechashev. But what is it that you're being mechashev? Hefseid mitzvah keneged sechara, right? Very hard to understand what these words exactly mean. The loss from a mitzvah against its reward, its benefits, I guess. But again, hefsed and schar are not exactly, you know, antonyms. They're not, you know, exactly in sync with one another. Uschar avera keneged hefseda, and the reward for the avera against the loss that, you know, takes place. If anything, you know, this difficult to read part of the Mishnah, you know, if we were writing it, or if I was writing it, I should say, I shouldn't impose my inclinations on everybody else, I would have thought that, you know, to flip some of the language. We usually speak about schar, you know, mitzvah, and hefseid avera. Here we're talking about hefseid mitzvah and schar avera. You know, maybe for very technically good reason, or maybe there's something else going on. But it's a difficult part of the Mishnah to read. I'll tell you what most people say about it in just a minute. And then the conclusion is either totally standalone or is, you know, at root of all three, you know, preceding parts. V'istaka b'shlosha devarim v'yataba lidei avera. Da'amala mala mimach, ayin roa, ozen shomas, v'chol ma'secha, ba'sefer nechtavim. So, of course, this final part is about perspective. It's about, you know, what it is that you should be thinking about, what your goals are, what your purpose is. You know, all of these things, you know, should be part of the calculus of the difficult decisions that you make. So let's zero in for a moment on having mechashiv hefsed mitzvah keneged scharo, schara vera keneged hefseda. So the first thing, you know, when you read the Mishnah, you get very excited about it. I'm still very excited about it. It seems to be saying something, you know, a little bit difficult to apprehend. Some of the Mefarshim kind of simplify it in terms of their understanding. So, for example, the Rambam, who in his understanding of the previous section of the Mishnah, of Heve Zoyer B'mitzvah Kalak B'chamura, basically understands that, you know, while there makes a suggestion that while there's no hierarchy when it comes to mitzvah saseh, you know, there is a hierarchy when it comes to mitzvah lo saseh, and suggests that, you know, onshim correspond, you know, to axiological value, which is an idea that is very sensible, although completely not mukhrach in my opinion, because there could be other reasons, we discussed it then, why, you know, you get a more severe onesh for something. It doesn't necessarily have to be because, you know, the violation is intrinsically or inherently, you know, more, you know, problematic. But either way, the Rambam here suggests that unlike mitzvah saseh, where you're kind of working in a vacuum, in most cases, you know, he has the exception of, you know, Pesach and Mila, mitzvah saseh sheish ben kares, or when there's an assay that is connected to a lav, you know, in a corresponding way, you know, there also you can make use of the hierarchy. But all things being equal, says the Rambam, you know, there's a difference between Essen and Laban. And in Laban, we have a good way of calculating these things. And that's how he interprets, you know, what I called part number three for the Rambam is just really a continuation of part number two. Hevi Mekashiv, Hefsed Mitzvah, Keneged Schar means Gamkein, Shetilmad, you know, Gamkein, Schar Aveira, Kishalota Asa Osa, Shazeh Gamkein, Lohit Ba'er, like, how do you know if you abstain from, you know, from an Aveira? Like, you know, how do you know the value of that vis-a-vis some other Aveira, as opposed to calculating, you know, the negative fallout of actually doing the Aveira. Shazeh Gamkein Lohit Ba'er, but Amnam Tilamdeyu Me Onsha, Shachet Asher Onesh Oseu Gadol Skar Hanachaso. Again, I don't think this is muchrach, although it's certainly reasonable. Meaning, if you would, you know, the more chomor the onesh when you violate, the more, you know, schar, or the more, you know, value associated with abstaining, you know, from it. Kifia erachahu minagodel. This based on his understanding of the Gemara in Kiddushin, Kamosha is bar b'Kiddushin. Kali yoshev lo avra be'er nosin lo schar ka'ose mitzvah. Right, that doesn't mean that you calculate, you know, the sheval tase, you know, according to the chomer of the violation. That Gemara Kiddushin doesn't prove that. Though it's simply nosin l'schar kosa mitzvah. That itself, it's like half of the point of the Rambam. Kvar biarnu husham umavura batora shemasim yiduim etzlo yisale kmo shemura elav. And so on. And that's how he interprets, you know, these this continuation. However, the Meiri, you know, says that the Rambam is right, you know, in his conclusion, that, you know, you would assess Essen and Laban, you know, also according to the, you know, impact of doing the opposite. And that would give you, like, that would fill out, you know, some of the hierarchy. It says in his opinion that is true. However, he says, that's true. The Afal Pisha Dvarim Amitiim, says the Meiri, Mitzaratzmam Ein Nirakein Le'inyan Perush. Shareza Soser Omro Evizoyer Bekala Kebechamura She'ein Atayodea Matan Scharos Shal Mitzvah. Share Yesh Lo Ladas Matan Scharim Mitzadzeh. So just in terms of the flow of the Mishnah, doesn't seem like that's what the words really mean. Seems like a standalone, you know, discussion. And not only that, but this whole approach of the Rambam, which, you know, in my opinion is very un-Rambam-like, you know, but, that, I mean, he said it, it's in the Pirshei Mishnayos, so there's nothing to do about that, but, you know, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva makes a very strong point of, you know, when the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which the Rambam quotes, says, you know, that whether you're a tzaddik or an avaryon, whether you're nidon this way or nidon that way, you know, it depends on the, you know, kaf maznayim, you know, of your mitzvos and averos. And then the Rambam jumps in and he says, but don't think that that's quantitative, you know, that's qualitative. So that's a more typical theme of the Rambam. But here in Pirush Mishnayos, after first telling us that we don't have a way of gauging these things, you know, he does get very specific, you know, in you know, being able to fill in the gaps in some cases. Again, for those who remember, the Rashbats in Magen Avos really takes them on in a more fundamental way, both in terms of Osek Mitzvah Pater and a Mitzvah, as well as the infinite value of every Mitzvah, et cetera, et cetera. The Meiri thinks the Rambam is correct, but he doesn't think that this is a pshat in the Mishnah. So what is this Mishnah all about? So if you look at the Rashi, and this influenced Rabbeinu Yonah and the Machzor Vitri, Rashi has a very simple peirush. It's about, you know, a person, it's about encouraging an individual, you know, when he, you know, is contemplating, you know, whether to do, you know, the right thing or not, whether to be in compliance with the halakha's requirements, but he's weighing, like, the downside, meaning, you know, sometimes, you know, doing the right thing is financially, you know, expensive. And that could be in different ways, you know. It could cost a lot of money or cost you a lot of money. Meaning, in some cases, it's like menia sarevach. In other cases, it's actually, there's a mechir, there's a certain price, you know, to performing mitzvos or to abstaining, you know, from averos. So, you know, the temptation is to calculate that in the, you know, in the, you know, in the process. So Rashi tells us, "Masha tamav sid b'tzchoraska b'pnei esek ha-mitzvah." Like, if you're going to be involved in the performance of mitzvah, so that's going to deflect, right, your ability, you know, to accumulate, you know, in terms of your entrepreneurial or other interests. But you know, you have to calculate that keneged aschar sheyala lecha ba'olam haba. But you know, to encourage you to do the right thing, you know, the Mishnah is telling you, you know, that you know, if you have a good perspective and you believe, you know, in schar ba'olam haba, then you'll, you know, you'll be motivated always to make the right decision. And this is the view of most of the Mefarshim. Again, the Machzor Vitri gives some examples of this. Let's say you have Nevelo, Trefa, Shata Zakuk, Litei Lekelev, right? You know, you got this meat and it turned out to be a Nevelo, Trefa, so you can't eat it anymore. You know, Lekelev, Tashlichuno. So, Oshahaya Lecha Tvua, Basade, Ugishamim, Yardim Aleha, Beshabis, Yata Mapsida, right? You can't do certain malachos and therefore you lose the, you know, the capacity to, you know, to take advantage of the agricultural conditions, and you lose, or, you know, other Mefarshim say there's a fire, you know, and it's the kind of fire where you're not allowed to, you know, put it out, you know, on Shabbos, so you're going to lose things, meaning, and in some cases, you know, al takmod bilavavcha mamon chavercha, on the negative side, gzeilaso, gnevaso, avedaso, Ela manei v'chashov bilibcha mashata mistaker achshav tachas ahefzed. So this is one approach of the Mefarshim, and Rabbeinu Yonah certainly goes this way as well. He elaborates the challenge a little more. Ki yirchash libcha davar lemar echaseh mitzvah zos v'afsid mamoni kazeh v'kazeh, right? Afata emar lo, sounds like, you know, ki hilchos ha-pesach, you know, Kisachar gadola gadol ha'yelanu kiflayim elef pa'amim and ahefzed v'zeh lo yimna'acha mikavod. And that's the same thing, schar avera keneged hefzeda. Penya davar im levavcha blial lemar schar gadol yesh ba'asos avera azos v'arviach ba kama v'kama, right, v'hana gadola yieli eich lo e'esena hishomer lecha. This beautiful language. V'tachshovet asher tafsid alea ba'achris hayamim v'hu kifle kiflayim me'asher tarviach ata v'atzar ha'atid, right, aroch v'gadol me'od mehanoas hasha'a. So he's elaborating much more in terms of the, you know, he wants to encourage you in a, again, a very, you know, suasive way. U'besivcha zeh libcha tanach yadecha milasosa, meaning the avera. She'en adam rotze benoach she'yesh hefzed kenegdo yoseh gadol meruba mimenu. Which makes a lot of sense. Doesn't always work, but that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is suggesting. It's interesting, like, this whole approach basically simplifies the Mishnah. It's different than, you know, the previous discussion of the Mishnah, but it addresses, as I say, the challenge of doing mitzvos when you know, when there are other considerations, more tangible and concrete, you know, benefits or you know, there's a downside to the mitzvah, a benefit to the avera, etc. Of course, this raises an important question, which I'm not going to go into right now, and that is, like, you know, are there any, like, financial constraints on the performance of mitzvahs, which is a very important issue. We're familiar with, you know, in some contexts, like there being a limit of chomesh, you know, or shlish, you know, bidam of, in some cases, you know, relating to your own financial, you know, worth. In other cases, like you're talking about zekeli vanveyu, right, or hidur, relative to like the core, like you could do the core mitzvah, you know, it'll cost X. You know, how much more are you obligated to spend to do the mitzvah, you know, in a hisnoa lefano the mitzvahs kind of a way? Is there any price tag on los assets? Again, last year when we were learning the beginning of Bav Basra, but we talked a little bit about, you know, pidyon shvuyim, you know, and staka, and other mitzvos, and the question, you know, about selling things, selling your home, selling a shul, you know, what are the, let's say, you know, what are the price tags, you know, the more challenging price tags, you know, that particular mitzvah. Is there a difference between Essen and Lavin, which is a very standard view in the Mefarshim, but the Gra, you know, wasn't so certain about that either, in either direction, in other words. And of course, that would be an important difference between Essen and Lavin in general. So this question about, you know, being mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchara, again, it's interesting. If you're talking about, that's why I think the examples that the Mefarshim bring here are really interesting. Like if you're talking about, you know, dleika, you know, b'shabbos, or the inability, you know, to do agricultural work, and therefore you're going to lose, you know, the opportunity, you know, to financially, you know, benefit, capitalize, you know, that's one kind of a question. The idea of, you know, the cost of actually doing the mitzvah, like, you know, chetzah shel mitzvah, tefillin and tzitzis and, you know, and dalad minim, you know, and so on, meaning how much do you actually pay, or pidyon shvuyim, not so much, you know, other costs, or like the abstention costs when it comes to lavin. I think there are different, some of the scenarios that are grouped together in the Mefarshim, from the purely halachic point of view, really are open, you know, to some question. There might be a difference also between minyas harevach and hefsed, but the bigger point is that some of these issues, the questions that I'm raising, are more internal questions, you know, than they are, you know, clash questions. In other words, what the Mishnah is making clear is that all things being equal, right, if you're looking at schar mitzvah, then, you know, the schar is overwhelmingly, the scale, you know, is overwhelmingly in favor of the halachic approach, you know, even if in short term or superficially it might appear otherwise. The issues that I'm raising of, like, is there a limit, you know, for, you know, things like hidur mitzvah or even mitzvah saseh in some cases, in terms of how much of your personal, you know, belongings you need to sell or you know, to cash in and so on. Those are more internal questions, like are these still conditions in which the chiyuv applies, just like what we were talking about then, osik mitzvah patim la mitzvah. Right, there are two ways to look at it. One is that you have a clash between two different mitzvahs, and the question is, you know, which one wins. And the other way is to suggest that when a person is osek b'mitzvah, that's a certain status, and when he's osek b'mitzvah, he's mufka from other chiyuvim, a kind of a hutra, you know, more than a dechuya. So the questions that are raised by some of the, why it is that, you know, some of the mefarshim are very expansive, and others here and give all sorts of cases, and others I think are a little more reticent, are, I think, interesting issues and questions. It also should be noted that the Rashbats, in his Perush on Magen Avos, makes it clear that he doesn't think that this is only, like Rashi, you know, brought in, Sheyal Lechob Olam Haba. But he doesn't say anything about Olam Haba in the Mishnah. And even Rashi was very influential, and that impacted, you know, the Machzor Vitri and Rabbeinu Yonah and countless others, you know, that followed. The Rashbat says that, you know, a lot of Gemaras and Shabbos and other places prove that even, you know, Ba'olam Hazeh, you reap benefits from, you know, making the right decision. Well, that's an interesting phenomenon. He says, "Yota tistaker b'scharam b'schara, sorry, ba'olam haba v'af b'olam hazeh, kamo she'ira la'osa chasid she'hir her b'liba libno schurva v'niskar shu shabbos v'nimna milavnosa v'ala la tzlaf." And so on, and mitzvot tzitzis, etc. More interesting is that the Rav Shalom Shonfal Hirsch in his Perush, very, you know, characteristically, suggests that this isn't all about, you know, reward in a technical way, you know, either. What the Mishnah is really telling you is that, you know, fundamentally, you know, spiritually, religiously, you know, doing the right thing, doing Ritzon Hashem, doing Dvar Hashem, you know, is something that transcends, you know, any kind of, you know, technical, you know, benefit or loss. So it isn't so much Ba'olam Haba or Ba'olam Hazeh, you know, that you'll come out on top, you know, in a more pragmatic way. The truth is that the Reb Chaim Mivolozhin in his Perush Ruach HaChaim is troubled by this whole Mishnah. He says, like, you know, what happened to, like, Antigonus Ishsocho, you know, Al Tehei, you know, Ka'avadim Hamisham Shemesarav L'Kabel Amenas L'Kabel Pras, like, you know, why, you know, it sounds like, you know, you're being told, like, you know, you'll end up ahead, you know, but shouldn't you just be, you know, Shomer Mitzvos, because it's Zvar Hashem and Lishma? So, Reb Chaim Mivolozhin says, yeah, this is for the, you know, it's Mitok Shalo Lishma Ba Lishma. So this, in Achanami, this Mishnah is Shalo Lishma. But if you interpret it a different way, as Rav Hirsch does, meaning it's not Tzchar Ba'olam Haba, not even necessarily Tzchar Ba'olam Hazeh, what we're saying is, you know, it's like I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, you know, the bracha is, you know, the opportunity, you know, the purpose, the, you know, the connection to Dvar Hashem, finding meaning in our lives, you know, that is the bracha. You know, the klala is, you know, if you do this, quid pro quo, if you do this, you get that onesh, if you do this other thing, you get, you know, a bigger onesh, a smaller onesh. But the bracha is simply the opportunity to live a life of meaning. And again, our first doesn't quote any of that. He just says that the schar mitzvah and the hefset of avera is, you know, the fulfillment of Ritzon Hashem itself. You know, in other words, kind of Rav Chaim Mivolozhin is right, but who says that that's the pshat in the Mishnah, and therefore the Mishnah itself is saying, you know, this in a much more idealistic way. In any case, you know, just we find hierarchies in the Asarebach, Hefsed, in certain other sugyas, beginning of Amitziah, Magbiya Mitziah L'Chavero, Migin Zachil Nafshe, traveling on Cholamoed. So too, if we're talking technically in terms of, like, you know, Hutra Dechuya, things like that, there would be distinctions to make. But if we're talking about, like, a broader idea, if we're saying, oh, when it comes to making decisions, you know, you should be dismissing, because, you know, what eclipses all practical consideration, you know, even if they were true, is simply fulfilling Ritzon Hashem, batel Ritzon Chal Ritzono. So then we have a very different kind of a mission on our hands. The Meiri himself, who rejects the Rambam, doesn't go that far, but he does say something very fascinating. Meiri says, after saying that the Rambam is right, but that's not the pshat in the Mishnah, so he says two very interesting things. Afal bishad dvar mamitim mitzadatzmam ein nira linyan haperush, as we discussed. So what is his alternative? So he says, yesh lefarish Shehu Maimar Acher, Eino Nimshach Klal, Eino Hevezayir, Ela Maimar Miyuchad Li'atzmo, U Biurohu Shebala Ha'ir Alasiyas HaMitzvos, v'hanachas v'averos. Klomar, he says, basically, this comes to teach you, and he has two different ideas here that overlap. It's not about trying to convince you to do the right thing and to take the right path. In other words, to ignore, you know, the minias harevach or the hefsed, you know, whether it's the price, you know, that is, you know, part of doing the mitzvah, or the particular circumstances which converge and you know, establish that there will be, you know, losses or difficulties as a result. So that isn't the point. It's more attitudinal. I mean, the assumption is that you're going to do the right thing. The question is, how should you perceive yourself, right, in the implementation of mitzvos, right, both in terms of, like, how you assess their importance in a very concrete way, as well as kind of dismissing, you know, in a fundamental way, right, the downside or the losses. So he says, this is what it means. Bala ha'ir al-siyas ha-mitzvos v'hanachas ha-averos, klomar, hit-orer ba-siyas ha-mitzvos, v'hach'ev libcha b'miniascha me'asiyasa. You should be stirring yourself or inspiring yourself, right, to do mitzvos. Basically what he means is to perceive this as, you know, not a begrudging, you know, calculation, right, but as like a spiritual opportunity, something you're enthusiastic about, very inspiring words. And you should hakev libecha, meaning you should have the ke'ev alev, you should have, like, you know, like visceral, practically pain, you know, when you're, you know, when there's an obstacle to accomplish this. Biyoscha mechashev b'hadarat haschar shetafsid, b'yeh b'einecha k'iloi haschar asiyasa b'yadecha, v'hifsadeta oso b'yadayim. So what's interesting about the Meiri is that he's paying much closer attention than the previous mefarshim that we've looked at to the words of the Mishnah. Instead of just saying, oh, calculate the benefits against the, you know, more physical, short-term downside, or vice versa, what he's saying is that this Mishnah means is something very fascinating, and that is when you are calculating doing the mitzvah, right, and you're trying to understand what, you know, the significance of that is, or what would happen if you weren't, you should perceive it as if you did it already, that you gained the benefit, and the option in front of you is to somehow lose it. Right? There's a difference between, you know, again, abstaining from doing a mitzvah and, like, losing, you know, or the mitzvah being, you know, taken away from you. And he says the same thing is true with regard to an aveira. V'afilim lo yagiyacha l'chol onesh acher. Even if there was no onesh, dai bazed. Just the feeling that, oh, you know, you had this in your hands, you experienced it, and it was taken away from you, which obviously ups the ante in a very significant way. That's how you should feel, you know, about, like, the stakes. The chain and the negative, skara vera kenegin afseda, very innovative shot. Bala hayir la'adam, la'ir meaning with an ayin, to stir him, to inspire him. Lihi manamina veros. The Amar have a mechashev behedera, mashe yeedar mimcha haonesh hamiyuadlo. The yebeinecha keilu higiacha haonesh, vinitzalta mimenu hatzala gemura. That's also, like, very fascinating. As if you, like, you know, you experience the punishment, the malchus, the kares, the skila. And I'm not sure how you, like, you know, exactly imagine that, but whatever it is, it's like you're in the midst of it, and it's being, you know, removed from you. So, like, there's this tremendous, even though it's abstaining from doing a lav, you're supposed to somehow conjure in your mind, you know, that, you know, you're actually, you know, suffering this consequence, and then you're getting a reprieve, you know, from it. That's what it means. That's what the words mean. Have a mechashev, you know, b'schar avera, right? B'schar avera keneged hefseda. Even if you weren't going to get any positive, you know, benefit from abstaining from doing the aver, so that's his first pshat. Second pshat, also very interesting. The Yesh Mefaresh, he attributes this to Rashi and Eirvin, Yud Gimel Mid Beis. Not sure if that's what Rashi really means, but Maimer Miyuchad Liatzmo, Birohu, Shim Tira Sheagiacha, Hefsed Basias Amitzvos, Yeosa Hefsed Kal Beinecha, Beerech Haskar. The Kainim Tizdame Naber Liadecha, Viagiacha Revach Basiasa, Yeosa Revach Kal Beinecha, Beerech Haonesh, Am Yuad Basiasa. So what he means is, again, this is all about perspective, all about your own, you know, when you look in the mirror, like, how are you thinking? How are you supposed to train yourself, right, to think? What perspective are you supposed to, like, internalize in terms of thinking about, you know, these issues? What he's saying is that, you know, you shouldn't say, ah, you know, there's a, you know, there's a, an 80 value on this and there's only, like, a 20 value on that. So I'm coming ahead, you know, I'm ahead 60 or whatever. Rather, you should be kind of, you know, dismissing, you know, any benefit. You should be taking the position, you know, that the either the schar or maybe better the opportunity of Dvar Hashem, right, is something that completely eclipses, that makes insignificant whatever the perceived, you know, downside or sacrifice is. So this, of course, is very fascinating. You know, reminds us a little bit of, you know, one approach to the pasuk in Re'eh, Lo Yeira Levavcha B'Sitcha Lo. Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos disagrees with Ram, says Lo Yeira Levavcha B'Sitcha Lo in the context of tzedakah. We just read the parsha on Shmini Atzeres, and of course, you know, in Parshas Re'eh, not so long ago. Ramban says that what that means is that when you give tzedakah, you shouldn't, your self-image should be, it's important that attitudinally, you not think of yourself as like this being this very, you know, altruistic, philanthropic, admirable, you know, individual who's suffering, you know, like you feel the pain of what you're doing and you're doing it anyway. That's not a proper. There's a separate lab in the Minyan Taryag of the Ramban counts, Lo Yera Levavcha B'Sitcha Lo, you know, which means that your attitude should be that this is an opportunity and that any downside, you know, is, you know, Ka'ayin, you know, it's basically negligible, you know, it's you know, bottle, you know, B'Shishim, not even just B'Rov, you know, it doesn't register, you know, relative to the opportunity. Now again, not everybody interprets Lo Yeira Levavcha B'Sitcha Lo in that way, that it's about your attitude, or that it's that particular aspect. One could have said that even according to the Ramban, that's a special din in tzedakah, where it's all about, you know, more directly, you know, forking over your you know, well-earned, you know, profits, you know, to someone else, or because B'chanuni Bazos, right, when it comes to tzedakah, right, there's an added level of kind of bitachon, you're allowed to test the Rabbonu Shel Olam. You know, many, many aspects of tzedakah, things that, again, those of you who were here last year, in the first parak of Balbasar, we discussed tzedakah a little bit. It could be that it's limited to that, but what the Meiri is saying, which is so interesting, is both your view about, both your assessment of, you know, schar mitzvah and you know, kilkul aveira, as well as your perspective on, you know, a profit and loss, you know, gain, you know, and suffering, you know, in the performance of mitzvos, that you have to, like, you know, inculcate in yourself, like, a certain perspective in which this, you know, is perceived in a different way. And, of course, the bottom line is that it's really all about, you know, reveling and being enthusiastic, you know, appreciating that, you know, that the obligation of Asiyas Mitzvos and the prohibition of Averos isn't just, you know, something that, you know, you know, accrues benefits, you know, in your record, you know, and leads to other things, etc., but that it really is, you know, an opportunity of Avodas Hashem that, you know, that as a result, you know, you have these additional subtle perspectives. So I think that you could also go further, and I've seen this somewhere, you know, once you interpret a little bit more like the Meiri, and you go back to the origins of the Mishnah, I think if there is another, you know, way to take the Mishnah or to take it a step further. And that is in light of what I was, you know, alluding to earlier. And that is that the whole Mishnah is really about perspective and choice. Instead of looking at the schar and the onesh, whether it's, you know, olam haba and olam hazeh, or within olam hazeh, or just the intrinsic purpose of, you know, nature of the performance of mitzvos, you know, it's a bracha in its own right. Instead of only looking at it that way, I think it's also possible that the Mishnah is talking about complicated situations where even within the performance of a particular mitzvah, forget about the financial downside or things that are, you know, kind of more obvious and more crude, or the performance of a lav, that sometimes, usually in anomalous situations, you know, the issue becomes a little bit more complicated. That is, your interest may be in unequivocally accomplishing something good, right? But there are, you know, there's fallout. There's, you know, residual, you know, challenges connected with it, or vice versa. That's what the Mishnah is really telling us, is having mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged skara, in the actual choice of something good, not choosing between the good and the bad, not choosing to do a mitzvah or not do a mitzvah, to do an aveira or not do an aveira, because, you know, v'chimud mamon gzeiloso gnevoso avedoso, you know, dleika, you know, hefsed skora, etc. But where internally there could be situations which are just more, you know, complicated. Not everything is black and white. It's a mitzvah, do it, an aveira, avoid it. Sometimes, you know, in the hurly-burly and challenge and flux of life, right, you encounter situations where, you know, there's a downside and an upside, you know, from a purely spiritual point of view as well. Partly, you know, this is the question of aveira lishma. That comes up. The Meshech Chachma in his Perish on Bereishis suggests that you know, the aveira of achila mi eitz hadas was really a kind of an aveira lishma. Again, a very fascinating piece. You can look at it when you get a chance. But I do have. I think I have a little bit of it here. He basically suggests, "Ha'inim mevura kan nachash bab ben muskal lomer lahem kein kavanas abore libliya kol mimenu rak ritzono shetochu mimenu vaz tavol his karvus lelokus beinyan nifla lehitgaber al ara ulavatlo v'ach ritzon Hashem hu kimi abas hamuskal v'acheshek lis karvus lelokus adas tovo amiti." Tasazos bin Asiris Nefesh, the Chafetz Avedas Achayim Azmani Vanitzki, Rakede Lasos Liskarev Lelokus, Oz Tatslichu Vitaskilu. Lachain Siva Lachem Shim Tochu Tamusu, mean Tochu Tamusu, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Maybe, you know, if you're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for that, you know, transcendent, you know, payoff, momentary payoff of Dveikus Bashem. Like, that's the ultimate, you know, form, you know, of tzidkus. This was the trap of the nachash. Vel zerech derech zem, just skipping a little bit, aveira lishma. V'hu b'emes chefetz Hashem u'amiti. Right, of course, that's not what the Rabbanu Shalom wanted. U'l b'sof kasherachal hitchabei v'nitrachek me'elokim. The opposite happened. Right, v'zeh shomer habore elav asher tzivisicha. Levilti echol mimenu, which is now chefzi ha'amiti u'shlemus ritzoni lo kasher harimcha hanachash. That's a fascinating interpretation. We find something similar for the same reasons, because very, you know, almost impossible to really understand, you know, how Adam and Chava could have, you know, done this. And we find something very similar with Bnei Aaron, of course, Nadav Amihu, right? And the idea of Ketorah Zara, and of course the introduction, you know, to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Bezos Yovo Aaron Ela Kodesh, is a contrast of Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron, Ki Bekrovaya Kadesh. So some of them, Farshim, there explain also that, you know, like they made a shikul, you know, Bnei Aaron. All sorts of shikulim, you know, according to different Farshim. But one of them is that they made this shikul that, you know, Hanami, they would die. But it was worth it because their Abbas Hashem, their, you know, their shifa, their striving, their aspiration of kirva lamako was such, you know, that it out, you know, it eclipsed, right, their physical life. And they felt that, you know, this would be like a model. So this, of course, is the discussion, you know, in the context of, you know, Ya'el and Sisra, you know, the Gemara Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel, again, a whole topic, very fascinating topic, not for now, of, you know, is there ever some validity to the concept of Aveiro Lishma? Again, I think I mentioned, or maybe not, that in the Hakdama to the second chelik of the Avnei Miluim, the Talmud who did the Hagos, he wrote that Hakdama. So he talks about, you know, Tshuva Me'ava, you know, whereas Donos or Nasos Kizchuyos, he talks about it in terms of, you know, Aveira Lishma. Not exactly the typical Aveira Lishma, but again, like, you know, this concept, this broader concept, and of course there's a huge literature, you know, on this. And, you know, in the world of Jewish mysticism, you know, including certain strands of, you know, Hasidus, you know, this is a very big issue. And one you have to be very careful about, you know, because, again, the line between good intentions and antinomian, and an antinomian, you know, posture, which, you know, undercuts the halakha, is a very, very fine, very fine line. So, in that respect, I think, you know, the Mishnah says, "V'hevi mechashed hefseid mitzvah keneged schara, u'schara beira keneged hefseida." Meaning, there are times when, I'm not saying it's referring to, you know, aveira lishma necessarily, but things like that, there are times when the issues are just more complicated. And it's not straightforward. It's not just a question of doing the Rabboni Shel Olam's bidding, you know, as opposed to your own selfish, you know, needs, whether they're economic or hedonistic or egoistic, whatever they happen to be. It's trying to figure out in situations that are difficult, like, what is the right thing, you know, to do halachically, you know, and hashkafically. And that is much more challenging when you have that. It's much more challenging, you know, than the other, you know, interpretations of the Mishnah. So that's having mechashev. You have to, you know, really kind of think sometimes. Typically, or you have an aveira, you avoid it, and you have a mitzvah and you do it. But sometimes there can be, you know, unforeseen consequences. You know, if you're not Roas Anola, and, you know, there can be different populations that perceive what you're doing in different ways, and you have to be careful about that. You can't be held hostage to other people's, you know, biases, but you also do have to be careful. Nisim Nikiyim, you have to be careful about issues of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. And just in some cases, you know, you may want to help one group, and, you know, you have to really be careful about undermining, you know, other, you know, supreme values. So a person has to be principled, and he also has to be wise. And in making these kind of decisions, you have to have a lot of siyata d'shmayim, a lot of yira shamayim, and a lot of, you know, mesorah, And even then, you know, only the Ribbono Shel Olam in some cases knows the final answer. Nadav and Avihu made a mistake, and Adam HaRishon and Chava made a mistake, and you have to make decisions in the world, but at least you have to be like aware that the complicated ones, you know, do require a lot of achrayas and a lot of wisdom. So I think that that, in light of just taking a giant step beyond the Meiri, you know, I've seen people, you know, use the Mishnah, at least in this direction. That's v'heve mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchara u'tzchara aveira keneged hefseda. Whether it's in the performing of a mitzvah or in the avoiding of a lav, you have to give attention and you have to kind of invest a lot when you make complicated decisions. So in context of this, I just also wanted to say that the yeshiva released a statement today regarding its lawsuit and further developments. I didn't see the statement yet, so I don't remember. And likely there's a lot of confusion, you know, surrounding these issues, because these are very sensitive issues on all sides. A lot of care was taken in terms of being mechashev, hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchara, u'tzchara aveira keneged hefseda, to try to unequivocally maintain a position of principle, to, again, unambiguously make clear what the halacha and what the hashkafa, you know, is, you know, allows and what it feels is ideal, etc. And at the same time, to navigate sensitivities and difficulties that people in the real world encounter and face without, as I say, compromising, but at the same time, you know, trying to, you know, foster a sense of Avos Yisrael, you know, to help people, you know, who require, you know, assistance, you know, and guidance. So I think that at least I've been very impressed with the Hevim Mesunim Bedin aspect of it, and the Hevim Mechashiv Hefsed Mitzvah Keneged Tzchara, U'Tzchara Aveira Keneged Hefseda part of it. You can't just, you know, in some cases, you know, you can't always say Shev Al Taisa Adif. Sometimes you have to find solutions, or try to find solutions at least, that, you know, are true to all of these factors. And there should be Mirta Hashem. We should all have Siyata Dishmaya, and we should all strengthen our resolve as people who believe in the halacha and believe that the halacha reflects the proper hashkafa, you know, to strengthen that as well. And that's really what this whole, you know, Mishnah is about, to have, to make decisions that are Tiferes Le'oseha V'Tiferes Lo Min Adam, to be Zahir B'Mitzvah Kala Kibachamura, to know the hierarchies and also to know the infinite value of every mitzvah and of every principle, to make calculations carefully, deliberately, based on principles that are principled and Mesorah, and finally, you know, to really cultivate the principle, which I want to speak about next time, of the Yistakel B'Shlosha Dvarim V'Yataba L'Idei Avera, to keep the perspective always that Da Malamala Mimcha Ayin Roa V'Ozen Shamas V'Chol Masecha V'Sefer Nichtavim, to really do things in a way that understands that you know, you have a certain responsibility in terms of clarity, but also at the same time, you know, to try to take steps that are constructive. Okay, we'll continue next time with the final piece of the Mishnah.